In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God lives outside of time. Yahweh, which is the name that God gave to Moses in the burning bush, misinterpreted as Jehovah, but Yahweh means I am. God simply is. He lives outside of time. He has no beginning, he has no middle, he has no end. There is no past, there is no future. God simply is. He lives in an eternal present. But then God spoke light into being, and time began to tick. There was evening and there was morning, the first day, a 24-hour day. And every day that has followed has been the same, 24 hours long. God was not bound to time. But he created time for us. It's a gift given to us. So we live in the present, and yet we also have a past that we've learned from, and we've grown and matured and have increased in wisdom. We also have a future that we eagerly anticipate, for that future is exciting, of what the next day will hold or what our kids will be like when they grow up. Yet through one bite, it's back to that one bite, everything is ruined. And time turned into a destructive force that now turns us back to dust and ashes. And not only us, but all creation is now subjected to this thing called time. So the stars grow old and die. Flowers fade. And they die. Even dogs get cancer and die. And what did they do to deserve this? They didn't rebel against their creator. We did. And yet they too are subjected to the curse of time. Over time, oceans get polluted. The earth is wounded and abused. Everything we touch, even the very air we breathe, is tainted and ruined. It all dies. Everything dies because of our sin. And now time is against us and all creation. We never have enough. We don't have forever. Time constricts us and limits us, for it is now God who determines your days and sets limits that you cannot exceed, no matter how healthy your lifestyle is or what medications you take. God has determined the exact number of months that you should live. And so we've quickly realized that time is more precious than money. We always want more of it and are never satisfied with what we have. We want more time in our day, more time in our week, more time in our year. If it's sinful to covet and desire more money, then also it's sinful to desire and covet more time. So we've set up time to be our little idol. And yet we really don't like it. For the more time that passes by, the more we accumulate, the more frail and weak we become. For time always brings chaos, decay, and ultimately death. In our arrogance, we fight against time. We think we can recapture the past. Instead of living in the present, we long for the good old days. We long to go back. We try to recapture our past beauty in a whole variety of ways. We try to hold on to the past by retelling our stories, not to teach and to learn and to benefit others, but so that others may know how smart we are, how successful we were, how beautiful we once were. Shamefully, we long to go back. Discontent with the gifts our God has given to us right now, discontent with how we are right now, we fail to thank our God for what we are right now. Repent, for time passes on, and time swiftly brings our Lord ever closer to his return. So the God who determined your days and set limits that you cannot exceed, the God who lives outside of time, he bound himself to time. The greatest and most mysterious reality is this, that God became man. The timeless had a past, a present, and a future. Despite our many sins and our constant abuses, he still loved us. And so he took on flesh in the womb of the Virgin and bound himself to our time. He took on our sins and so bound himself to our death. He bore the worst of man. He has felt your guilt in his soul. He's endured all the sorrow of the world. He knows the pain of time slowly passing by, of time slowly catching up with you. He knows the pain of life slowly creeping away. He knows the pain of suffering endless time in hell, for that was his punishment. That is what he endured, an eternity in hell. We turn time into a cruel master, and yet we are never satisfied with what we have. We've called it my time, forgetting that it's a gift from our God. And yet when the eternal God died on Calvary, he removed our sins and has reconciled us to all creation and to himself. Once again, the gifts that God gives, he gives to us out of love. Time is once again a gift given by our Creator who bought us with his own blood. It does not control us, but time is a gift that we get to use for the good of others. We do not live for ourselves, but we live for others. 24 hours is the gift. That's it. No more, no less. So we do our best with the time that we have. Our bodies age, time passes on, our end draws near, so be it. So what if right now we are not what we wish we were? Give it some time, and soon you will see. We may not have had the lives that we dreamed of, but give it some time. We may have made a whole lot of wrong decisions, but give it some time. The Lord of time, who lives outside of time, is swiftly advancing with each tick of the clock, bringing his return ever closer. And so he's bringing your salvation ever closer to you. Right now we live in the end times, the great tribulation, which is to say we live in the New Testament church. These days have been going on since our Lord ascended into heaven. So these are the times of wars and rumors of wars, and yes, sadly, even of mass shootings. These are the times of corrupt politicians, of betraying spouses, and of great injustices. These are the times of great natural disasters, of floods and famine and earthquakes and fire. These are the times of pain and heartache and sorrow. And maybe things are worse today than they were in the past, maybe. But I'd be willing to bet that none of us would want to go back and live 500 years ago. We understand we have it better today than really anyone in the history of the world. So maybe things are getting worse, maybe not. But we know that each day, each week that cycles by brings a lot of the same trouble and pain. It really doesn't matter who is elected, shootings still happen. It really doesn't matter who is in charge, earthquakes and famines still come. The world doesn't look like it has been sanctified by Christ. It doesn't look like we are at peace with God and with all creation. So we hang ourselves on the promises of God, that he is in control and he is working all things for the good of his beloved church, of you and me. He has already redeemed and sanctified us by his blood. He has already washed us in a crimson bath at the font to restore us to a new life. And so quickly he is coming soon. Swiftly, as time passes on, it brings us ever closer to the day of our salvation. As distressing and troubling as these times may be, they really are signs of God's love. If disasters, war, and suffering ceased, then we'd have reason to fear. God would be turning his back on us. So these evil things, these dying stars and chaotic world, yes, even our own fragile bodies, show us the temporary nature of this fallen world, and also the temporary lives that we live in this fallen world. It will not last forever. Give it some time, and you will see. So do not be afraid. God has told us these last days would be disastrous, but he has also told us that these last days would be cut short. He will come down on the clouds of heaven, and he will bring you into the bliss of heaven that has no end. For heaven is not timelessness. It's not the absence of time. But heaven is endless time, or as we usually say, forever and ever. Oh, to be with our God in that heaven. For then time is once again this wonderful creation of God, a gift given by God to us as we get to worship and praise and glorify our God forever as glorious children of God. And this time, time will have no end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.